VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. Ladies and gentlemen, this past Friday, a federal judge suspended the approval of the abortion pill in a ruling against the Food and Drug Administration. The judge indicated that the FDA made a series of legal errors in the approval of this pill for sale in the United States. But then the judge also suspended the approval of this deadly drug and then delayed its impact for a week to give the Biden administration ability to appeal and seek an emergency stay. And indeed, we did see another federal judge issue a decision just minutes after this one was given as well with an opposite viewpoint. Javier Becerra, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, is calling this a reckless decision. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is demanding that President Biden just ignore the ruling. And just a short while after this ruling, as we mentioned, another federal judge had released an opposite ruling on the same issue. Well, we're going to break this matter down today, and we welcome back Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is host of the Life Issues program, a daily radio commentary, has produced numerous radio and video specials as well, Standing for Life. Brad, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
So before we talk about the rulings that came out last Friday from two separate courts, let's first talk about the abortion pill itself, what it does. What can you tell us about this deadly drug?
Sure. Well, the names are very confusing because they sound a lot alike. Mifepristone is what we're going to be talking about today. And a way that I remember that and its role in the abortion is it's the drug that basically stones the baby to death, Mifepristone. Misoprostol then causes uterine contractions that then expel the dead baby. Now, you'll also hear the word Mifeprex, which is the market name for Mifepristone. So the drug that kills the baby, Mifeprex, is its market name. It's very confusing, but that's the best way I keep the names apart. Now, the first drug, Mifepristone, of course, blocks progesterone, which is a necessary hormone to continue the pregnancy. And what that does is basically starve the baby to death, denying it nutrients and oxygen. And then the misoprostol is a drug that was developed for protection of the stomach lining for patients who take a lot of arthritic medication that tends to eat away at that stomach lining and cause problems. And they happen to find out that when a woman takes that causes uterine contractions. So it's an off-label use that carries a lot of liability potential for those that use it. And in short, that's what the drugs do.
Okay. Well, the propaganda over use of these pills really tries to convince women that they are safe. However, there are numerous instances of dangerous complications from this abortion pill. We know to the child, unless reversed, it's fatal. But in addition, there are some dangerous complications many women have experienced as well. Have they not?
Oh, absolutely. And those cannot be minimalized like the other side is trying to do. At least 28 women have died. We suspect that there are many more because these tend to be covered up. And thousands upon thousands of women have suffered life-threatening complications. And this is to get the bigger picture here is the FDA, one of the things they did is they stopped requiring the reporting of life-threatening or other complications unless the patient dies.
My.
So, you can see how they're setting it up, and now they're saying, well, it's a safe drug. Well, that's because nobody's reporting the complications from them unless it kills the woman. And one woman died last July in Canada while taking that drug.
You know, there's another aspect to this, and I was looking at a writing from Live Action News, that is, indicating that there's been an increased effort to defend these pills as being safe and to demean the humanity of preborn children. And they indicate the latest effort comes from a supposed Associated Press fact check in which so-called experts make the claim, Brad, that early in pregnancy, there is an embryo present, but no baby. How do you respond to this?
Well, by laughter, if you look at any embryology book that does not take a pro-life stand, that just presents the facts, you will see that is an absolute lie. Mifepristone, or the chemical abortion pill, is taken up through the 10th week of pregnancy. Now, to keep in mind whether or not it's a baby, remember those 10-feet weak pins that many of us wear on our lapels that are the same size and shape of a 10-week-old unborn baby. Those are a testimony to the fact that this is a real baby. RU-46 chemical abortion stops a beating heart of a baby. It is the sole purpose of that is to kill a human being.
You know, I find it interesting. You mentioned the beating heart, and that's been found within just a few weeks of pregnancy. And then even at conception, the baby, we understand, has his or her own unique DNA, completely separate from mom. I mean, their sex, their hair color, their eye color, many other traits all determined at this point, and even brainwaves being measured by 6 weeks gestation. And yet they're trying to deny the humanity of this baby?
Yes, they are what I call flat earth sciencers because they are totally ignoring modern science that has been known for many decades. When you started out as a single cell, Jim, as each of us did, as you said, within that single cell is everything that we are today. Eye color, shoe size, the fact that we may genetically be predisposed to developing diabetes. All of that is in that single cell, and the only thing that's added from that point, Jim, is maturation and oxygen and nutrition.
Wow. Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute. And Brad, another word about the abortion pill. I understand that there's been battles really being waged on the pharmacy level as well, the number of pharmacies that are offering the abortion pill. Others are saying, no, we're not going to carry it.
Yes, well, CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens jumped on the abortion bandwagon and said they were going to provide that. Well, in many states, at least 18, I think more than that probably, it changes daily, they are not able to dispense them. For instance, here in Florida where I live, our governor sent a letter to all of the Walgreens and other pharmacies within our state saying, it is unlawful for you to fill that prescription. And if you do, we're coming after you legally. So, and then when they pulled back, Walgreens did, saying they would not dispense where it was illegal. Then the pro board started boycotting Walgreens.
Yes.
And the pro-lifers were already boycotting Walgreens and the others also. So when you stand in the middle of the road, as some of these pharmacies are trying to do, then you get hit from both sides.
Now, friends, our guest today has mentioned CVS, Walgreens, and Rite Aid. And just last week at lifenews.com, they presented a listing of pharmacies that don't sell abortion drugs killing unborn babies. And, Brad, they list among these, and I'm sure this can change, but they do list Walmart and Publix and Kroger. They also mention Costco and a number of other locations, Albertsons and Hy-Vee and Meijer and Wegmans. This is something that people can really reach out to their local pharmacy to make inquiry on this issue, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I recommend if you haven't changed and moved your prescriptions from these big abortion industry participants, you should. And what my wife and I did is we found a small independent pharmacy, and he asked that I not talk about his name because there would be protests against him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we won't do that. But not only do we have now a pharmacist that is pro-life, we have enjoyed a level of personalized service that we have never known before in any pharmacy. So I think those small independent pharmacies are also a good alternative.
And one other thing before we talk about the court's rulings, I just saw a story on LifeNews.com last week as well, Brad, of a Colorado mom who cried. She wept as she remembered how her heart was broken when she swallowed those abortion pills to end her unborn son's life. But, you know, it just she was immediately realized then I was wrong in doing so. And she reached out to a pro-life organization and found that there was an abortion pill reversal process. And the treatment worked for her. And today, this Colorado mom is a beautiful little boy. So what do we know about this reversal process?
Well, it's very effective, Jim. It has a success ratio of at least 68% and probably more. And the pro-aborts are trying to keep that from being known. They are also trying to pass legislation not allowing it, if you can imagine that, a woman's choice. Once she takes that pill, women also have often have regrets, change of mind, and they can reach out to the abortion pill reversal any place, anytime through the internet and get connected to a physician and or nurse that will help them save their baby.
So that's a particular website?
Yes, abortionpillreversal.org. is where you can go. If you just Google abortion pill reversal, you will get that information. I've tried to do that a few times, and it's very easy, regardless of exactly what you put in. But yes, that is your answer, and you will have help 24 hours a day.
So do you know how much time after taking that initial abortion pill that that reversal can come about?
Well, the sooner the better. And if you take the first pill, but not the second, then it is an option for you to reverse that abortion and save your baby. There is much, much less success if both pills have been taken. I'm not sure if they have any recorded instance where that has happened, but certainly if the first pill is taken and you have a change of heart, by all means, seek help because chances are stacked in your favor, and especially that of your babies.
Yes, and I find it appalling that they do not want the word getting out about this reversal or to prohibit the use of the abortion, the reversal drug in order to stop this process from taking place.
And it shows what a farce the far left is, because for them, it's an extreme radical pro-abortion agenda, and they don't want anything to get in the way. And the ironic thing is, Jim, is this is when it's a woman's choice not to have her baby aborted. And even then, they fight against the woman. Not only do they keep her in the dark about the reality of abortion, what it does to their babies and what it could do to them, they don't want them to know that there's an alternative if they change their mind.
It's amazing. So women's rights are really out the window, are they not?
Yes, women's rights were never present in the abortion debate. Yeah. They claimed they were, but they are not. It's all about the money and the abortion industry making that blood money.
Brad Mattis is with us today, president of Life Issues Institute. And a quick break before us. When we come back, we're going to find out what happened last Friday. What about these two separate rulings from two different federal judges and in regard to the abortion pill? So stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has it finally happened? Can computers outthink humans?
No, they can't, Chris. Now, they can outperform humans on some difficult tasks, but they're not really thinking. For instance, calculators can do mathematical manipulations much more quickly and accurately than humans. But keep in mind, they were designed by humans and programmed to do these various tasks. They're not thinking, they're just doing the things they were designed to do. No, Chris, machines can't actually think, nor do they exercise real judgment. This is reserved for mankind, created in the image of God, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, simply visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
That's www.icr.org. This is Chris O'Brien. God bless.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Battis is with us from the Life Issues Institute. Their website, lifeissues.org. That's lifeissues.org. So, Brad, last Friday, we have two separate rulings that come out from two different federal judges that oppose one another as it relates to the abortion pill. One is a Texas judge, a Judge Matthew Kaczmarek, appointed by former President Trump. The other from Washington, Judge Thomas Rice, appointed by former President Obama. Tell us about these rulings and the clash.
Yes, well, there was certainly a good ruling on Good Friday, and Kaczmarek is the one who ruled that the FDA authorized chemical abortion not in good faith, but as part of a political agenda, ignoring the facts. And then, as you mentioned, Judge Rice was approached by blue states, attorney generals, state attorney general of those states, and asked that the status quo be protected. And, of course, he was at the beck and call of the abortion industry and ruled that way. I think that now the ruling, Kaczmarek, will go to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal, which is very friendly to our way of thinking. And, of course, Judge Rice's ruling will go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has a reputation for being Looney Tunes judicial activism. That, thanks to President Trump, has changed some, but they still seem to have an edge.
So the rulings are clashing with one another, and I see the ruling from Judge Kaczmarek out of Texas that put the stop on this. He said the court does not second-guess FDA's decision-making lightly, but here FDA acquiesced on its legitimate safety concerns in violation of its statutory duty based on plainly unsound reasoning and studies that did not support its conclusions. That's a pretty strong statement. I mean, you're saying, FDA, you fell down on your responsibilities. You didn't go through the process you were supposed to before allowing this out on the market.
Yes, and there's a long list, fairly long list, that these organizations, these medical organizations that are pointing to, the FDA changed the dosage and the route of administration, whether it be a suppository or a pill. It reduced the number of required in-person office visits from 3 to 1, and it expanded who could prescribe and administer these chemical abortion pills that went beyond medical doctors or abortionists, and eliminated the requirement that abortionists report, as I mentioned earlier, non-fatal complications. So, and then there was one more. They allow the abortionist to send the pills through the email, which is in direct violation with a longstanding federal law.
This is amazing. And as you said, this is likely going to go then before the Court of Appeals, two different courts of appeals, and very likely they will come out with a mixed decision, which means U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes, whenever you have the appellate courts in a split decision, as we call them, then there's a higher chance that it will go to the U.S. Supreme Court. This has the makings of making it to the Supreme Court, I think, in fairly short order. Not being an attorney, I can't predict that, but there is so much at stake, the well-being of so many women who, in my opinion, have been thrown to the wolves in an effort to fund the abortion industry and to promote a radical, extreme abortion-on-demand agenda.
Brad, I'm just going to go back a few months in history here to Kamala Harris, as she spoke before a crowd of pro-abortion doctors and participants, speaking on the matter of Roe v. Wade and what was to be its 50th anniversary, speaking on it. But let's listen to what she said, because she really perverted the words of the Declaration of Independence, and because it does really apply to our conversation today. Here's what she had to say.
America is a promise. America is a promise. It is a promise of freedom and liberty. Not for some, but for all. A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence, that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Be clear, these rights were not bestowed upon us. They belong to us as Americans.
So, Brad, that was her quote from that time. Of course, she left off reference to our creator and then also somehow forgot the first one of those, the right to life.
Yes, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think that the founders of our nation and its Constitution put life at the top of that list for a good reason. You know, this is just typical of what we've witnessed, Jim, of this administration, ignoring the facts, ignoring the word of law, and just advocating an extreme leftist agenda. And it, this one was so blatant that she got a lot of pushback from it. I don't think it has dampened her enthusiasm.
No.
To twist the Constitution and founding documents.
And I bring this up because the response to this abortion pill ruling from the judge out of Texas comes a statement really from Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra, who's arguing that protecting moms and unborn babies from this dangerous abortion drug is un-American, and slamming this federal judge for blocking the abortion drug, Mifepristone, is going to do what he can he said, for America's sake and for women's sake, we have to prevail in this. Everything is on the table. The president said that way back when the Dobbs decision came out. Every option is on the table. This is not America, he said.
Yes, well, he's accusing everyone that opposes these death drugs as being un-American. But, you know, what's missing, Jim, is he needs to respond to the facts. These organizations, these medical organizations and doctors have presented a very concise and precise list of facts that have transpired. And his response did not address any of those facts. And it's also interesting, I noticed an article in The Guardian, and all they could do was respond to the verbiage that the Judge Kasarik, if I'm pronouncing that right, what he, you know, used in that 67-page ruling, Kasmerik is his name. But he used the word unborn human and unborn child, and they went apoplectic about that. But they couldn't come back and say, no, he's got his facts wrong, because he has his facts right. And, you know, there's also what we're hearing is, why did they take so long, 23 years after the drug was approved by the FDA, why are they doing this now? Well, it was pointed out in the 67-page ruling that, let me read what he said, Judge Kasmerik said. He said, simply put, FDA stonewalled judicial review until now. Before plaintiffs filed this case, FDA ignored their petitions for over 16 years, even though the law requires an agency respond within 180 days of receipt of the petition. So he's really exposing the process and the political prostitution, if you will, of keeping that drug out there and used at the grave expense of women's health and, of course, the baby's life.
My. I'd like to also focus on a couple of other reactions that have come. I mentioned AOC in my opening here, and she is indicating that I believe that the Biden administration should ignore this ruling. She said that deeply partisan judges have engaged in unprecedented and dramatic erosion of the legitimacy of the court, calling the ruling unfounded. And also echoing those remarks were Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, in which he said there's no way this decision has a basis in law. It is instead rooted in conservatives' dangerous and undemocratic takeover of our country's institutions. No matter what happens in 7 days, I believe the Food and Drug Administration has the authority to ignore this ruling, which is why I'm again calling on President Biden and the FDA to do just that.
Well, for a senator, he's either woefully ignorant or lying, and either one is not flattering for a U.S. senator. The FDA does not have the liberty to ignore a court ruling, and they have to follow the final word of the judicial system. So them encouraging a blatant disregard for the rule of law is just more of what we're seeing from the radical left and the Biden administration.
Judge Rice out of Washington, so he's the judge that put a ruling the other way, opposite here, certainly opposite of life. But Judge Rice, Brad, wants to see the complete deregulation of the abortion drug, even wanting to eliminate pharmacy certification. I mean, just put it out there for people.
Yes. And what does he base that on? I don't think that he provided a good, sound medical scientific basis for that. But on the other hand, those who were fighting the FDA authorization of this drug are putting forth a very precise and stellar case, medically and scientifically speaking. Also, it protects women's psychological health. And Judge Kaczmarek even mentioned he said many women also experience intense psychological trauma and post-traumatic stress from excessive bleeding and from seeing the remains of their aborted children. This is something we've been talking about long before chemical abortion was authorized by the FDA, and we just can't begin to tally the toll, both physically and psychologically, on women from this death drug.
Brad Mattis with us today. Lifeissues.org is the website, lifeissues.org. Friends, I want you to understand as well the difference in the appointment of judges in so many of these cases. And we see a lot of decisions that are standing for life coming from the appointees of Trump and those who are anti-life, you know, from like a Barack Obama. And that's not universally the case. But Brad, I bring this out because just at the recent Easter egg roll at the White House, President Biden was asked about running for a second term and just indicated that, there's no formal announcement yet, but he is going to be planning on running again. And that has huge implications on this very matter of decisions that are coming from federal courts.
Oh, absolutely. Voting matters, and it affects every single human being in our country. And I wouldn't vote a dog catcher into office unless I knew he or she was pro-life. And the reason for that is every politician climbs their own ladder of political success. We saw Barack Obama, just launch to the very top of that. And so we have to be aware of where they stand on abortion and only support pro-life candidates, because we are seeing very dramatic results of this election.
Friends, as you know, there are battles going on in just a number of states as well. We'll have some general comments on that, also giving you opportunity to call in on the program. We're speaking with Brad Mattis today from the Life Issues Institute, and we'll be back in a minute.
How much do you know about the end of the world? Have you heard of worldwide pandemics, weapons of mass destruction, threats from Russia and Asia, clamor for globalization, hand implants for commerce and security, violent persecution? What about intensifying wickedness? All of this is predicted in the book of Revelation. In the book, the 50 final events in world history author Robert Morgan simplifies what many have found complex, providing a comprehensive yet easy-to-understand overview of the Book of Revelation, which translates the events of Revelation both literally and sequentially. Walk step-by-step through the prophetic events yet to unfold. The 50 Final Events in World History is available from VCY for a donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org. That's lifeissues.org. And indeed, federal judges clashing on the abortion pill and likely going up to the appellate court level very, very soon. Two different appeals courts, and their decisions are going to clash as well, which will put it up before the United States Supreme Court. A lot of information on life-related issues at lifeissues.org. Again, that's lifeissues.org. Brad, we know that since June 24th of last year, in which we saw the overturn of Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs decision, that the battle has really, really intensified in the states. And some states that are really shoring up their protection of life and others that are surrendering it. I think of Michigan here just recently and just really overturning their abortion law and things that are happening there. We just had the Arizona governor, Katie Hobbs, vetoing a bill to stop infanticide, proving, you know, giving care to babies who survive abortions. Idaho, things are going on in multiple states. Even New Mexico Governor Michelle Grisham signed a bill protecting abortionists who kill babies. I mean, the state battle is really, really intensifying.
Oh, it is. And you in Wisconsin just saw a very tragic result of an election lost for a state Supreme Court that changed the side of power from pro-life to pro-abortion. And oral arguments are soon coming to the forefront in Wisconsin regarding the law that is on the books regarding abortion. And as a result, it's likely that thousands upon thousands of babies will die in that state because of that election. Elections have such dire consequences or such life-affirming consequences. Two other states, Jim, that we're watching because of very concerning developments is as a result of Michigan's loss regarding a constitutional amendment to the state constitution and other states. Pro-abortion people are moving forward in Ohio and South Dakota, just to mention two, where they were gathering signatures to put a question of abortion on the ballot for a state supreme, a state amendment to the constitution. And they are in the process now of collecting those signatures. What we know from past states, Jim, is they will come in with Soros-type money and spend tons of money doing all kinds of slick ads that are full of half-truths and outright lies to persuade people that abortion is a good and that abortion is health care, when we know in reality that it kills the unborn baby. Pregnancy is not an illness. And abortion isn't the answer to it.
So, Brad, there are those who come away from the Dobbs decision thinking our work is done, and it really isn't. And I know you said, no, our work is just really beginning at that point.
Oh, and we've seen it so vastly increase, Jim, multiple times over, because now these battles are in each individual state. And pro-lifers have to raise millions of dollars. It's expected $20 million in the state of Ohio to defeat what the pro-abortion people are doing, and so much is at stake. They must do all that they can to stop this juggernaut of abortion on demand, even beyond birth. As you mentioned, Arizona, the judge vetoing a law that would stop infanticide, the killing of innocent babies who survive a late-term abortion. It is just so ghastly to even consider that we are facing these battles.
Brad, there are legislators who believe that they need to surrender their pro-life values in order to win an election. True or false?
False. And we have lots of statistics and numbers and polling to show that when a candidate stands firmly for life and makes a good presentation of life, doesn't cower from it, put his or her tail between their legs and run, that's when they prevail at the polls. What we see when Republicans cower on the abortion issue, refuse to bring it up, when their opponents do, those are the ones that go down in defeat.
And what is your guidance to people listening in today as far as many of these are in battleground states? A number of people I know who are tuning in, you mentioned Ohio, you mentioned South Dakota, multiple stations there picking up Crosstalk. Listeners in Wisconsin, of course, and Michigan, where these are taking place, Arizona, New Mexico, we mentioned these. How, speak to the person about staying engaged in this matter.
Yes, and the best way you can do that is through education. And, for instance, in the two states of Ohio and South Dakota, Google organizations, Right to Life, or other organizations respecting life, you may already be plugged into them, but if not, find your source of information, read it faithfully, and share it with others. Share it with your email list. Post information, this information on your social media platforms. We can get awareness out to millions of Americans if we each just do our part. And, you know, it's not hard at all, Jim. It just takes very little effort.
Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk today, I'd like to get your questions. If you have a reaction to the issues we're talking about today, our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 for today's Crosstalk. 800-733-9829. And we understand, Brad, that the federal judge in Texas, Judge Kaczmarek, has stayed his decision for a week pending what's believed to be a decision or an appeal coming from the Biden administration to stop this. That's really an effort to move this up through the court system, is it not?
Absolutely, and the Department of Justice has already appealed that case to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I think we're going to see this move quickly, just based on what's at stake here and how all the pieces of the chess game have been put into place.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brad, there was an interesting ruling that also just came out from the court late last month, on which they struck down a lower court ruling that upheld minors' ability to obtain an abortion without parental notification. I understand the vote was 8-1 to uphold parental notification.
On what level of court was that?
That was U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When what that was is they were kind of more or less challenging the Supreme Court. Did you really mean it when the Constitution doesn't say anything about abortion? Well, even all except the most new representative, Brown, I believe is her last name, who is an extreme of the extreme, voted contrary to that. But the others, who are dyed-in-the-wool pro-abortion justices, acknowledge that, yes, this is the decision, the Dobbs decision, and we are bound by that.
And friends, maybe you can call in today, even with what's going on in your state on this issue, on the battle that's going on. Many listeners from your state are tuning in and can address what's happening within your state on these critical issues. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's begin with John calling in from Mount Vernon, Kentucky. John, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Y'all might have already talked about what my question is, but I didn't turn on to 3:30. I missed half of your program. But I've been wondering, with Biden trying to push so hard to get into the WHO, like you talked about on a few other programs, if his agenda for that is, I'm thinking that if China says we have to have abortions once we do that, that we wouldn't be able to do nothing about it. Is that right? Am I on the right way of thinking?
Yeah, thank you for the call. And matter of fact, later this week, we have Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel, who will be talking about this pandemic treaty from the World Health Organization and its dangers. The Biden administration is pushing heavily for this to take place, that whatever the World Health Organization would say, that all the members, the signers, the countries, the signatories would have to comply with this. And keep in mind that there have been those who have tried to convince the Biden administration to declare this lack of so-called reproductive health care needs to be called a state of health emergency across our land. And indeed, we've seen pressure from the United Nations and the World Health Organization. Very disappointed, Brad, in the Dobbs decision that happened here to United States of America. And so any kind of treaty, including this pandemic treaty, would be very dangerous for the U.S. to proceed with.
Oh, absolutely. We need to keep our American sovereignty. The words that come to my mind as you were discussing this is one world government.
Yeah.
That is coming at us, and we have to reject that. I think, you know, people have their opinions about President Donald Trump, but I'll tell you, nothing like that would be have a remote chance in America with him in the Oval Office.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, and certainly be listening later this week as Matt Staver will come on talking specifically on the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. Greg is next in Tucson, Arizona. And Greg, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for taking my call. I just want to say, to me, the Dobbs decision reflects the cowardice of those Supreme Court judges. You know, we know, we all understand it is a person in the womb. Science has proven it. Everybody knows it. And the Constitution specifically alludes to persons in Amendment 5 and Amendment 14. And the Supreme Court justices were like Pontius Pilate, as far as I'm concerned. They had the obligation to say that on the basis of the Constitution, those persons in the womb from the moment of conception are entitled to life, should be protected. And instead of handing it back to the states, you know, and causing further war, you know, they cowardly, you know, as I say, acted like Pontius Pilate.
Okay, thank you.
It so disappoints me.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Brad, your comment.
Well, I think we have to just consider reality. And there was a time where the Supreme Court justices weren't remotely about to reverse Roe v. Wade. And we kept up with persistence, and by God's grace, we got to that point. Now we dig our heels in deeper, and we continue to strive for that ultimate goal, which is a human life amendment, which I believe can be found in the 14th Amendment. But we have to get a lot of things in place to create that momentum and courage to move that forward.
Yeah. I don't know that I would call these justices cowardly by any stretch of the imagination. We saw great protests. We saw threats upon their lives for the actions, you know, after the leaked opinion took place there. And certainly the matter before them, I believe, was the matter of Roe v. Wade. I mean, they took it that step further in that regard. But I don't know I would call their positions to be cowardly positions.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And all you have to do is look at the constant day in, day out, night in, night out protests that are blatantly illegal, but the administration, Biden administration, is allowing them to continue. They are continuing to take the withering attacks physically and verbally against them to stand for life.
Friends, we'll take more of your calls following the break. Brad Mattis with us from the Life Issues Institute. Their website, lifeissues.org, and again, lifeissues.org. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Today, I interviewed for my national radio show Dr. Rob Linstead, who's been to Israel over 70 times leading tours. I also had with me author and pastor and seminary president Dr. Andy Woods. He also has been to Israel many times. Both of them have been watching and studying Israel in the Middle East for years. And one thing they agreed on today, among others, was never before have they ever seen Israel surrounded by so many enemies wanting to wipe her off the face of the earth. And not just any enemies. The very nations, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 38, will come together in a great coalition to invade Israel. And it's lining up like we've never seen in world history. This is where we as Christians can take what's happening in the news and realize it's not doom and gloom. It's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. God is in control. Fear not.
Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute as we're talking about the federal judges clashing on the abortion pill. And folks, it's a matter of continued prayer. It's a matter of continued vigilance in this regard and also getting engaged with what's happening within your state. Let's go right back to your calls. Laura is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, calling yourself Life Issues. This life goes on, you know. This life is born and sometimes never even taken care of properly.
Mm-hmm.
Or given in the foster, you know, different situations.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, if this man that runs the Life Issues, have they ever taken a survey or any kind of poll or anything? I don't know where you would take it, really, other than the general population like any other. How many people wish they had been aborted? How many suicides have happened and just wish they did, they hadn't had that?
Okay, thank you. Brett?
Well, I think that man is born with a desire to live and continue to be alive. So I don't think that we see many who feel that they should have been aborted. We see that case once in a while. But you just look at the mind frame of the people and looking at it in the context of the FDA, three-quarters of Americans believe the FDA should have done studies before approving the death drug. And 62% have... feel not very confident or not at all confident that the pill is safe for women. 61% disagree that it's that's safe to distribute the abortion pills to the male. So America, by and large, poll after poll shows Americans are pro-life. We just need to make sure that the laws reflect that in each state and across the nation.
And Brad, that your organization does not stop with what happens from conception to natural birth. I mean, you follow life throughout life. Matter of fact, you've done specials even dealing with the term euthanasia and the importance of protecting all of human life. Human life is sacred all the way up till natural death.
Oh, absolutely. Our motto here is to protect innocent human life from fertilization to natural death. And that is something that all you have to do is look on our website and you'll see evidence of that, that we deal with end-of-life issues also.
Thank you, Laura. Let's go to Vernon next in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm just calling to have a comment. President Biden, he's the worst president we ever had in the United States. Ever. I thought Carter was bad, but this man he's a crook. I want to say he's a crook. He's crooked. He's crooked as a killed baby.
Let me just say that it's imperative, number one, that we be praying for our president. Certainly that, as Scripture commands us to do, wouldn't it be wonderful for those who are in leadership to know Jesus Christ personally as Savior? And that really prompts all of us here as well Vernon, to be active in sharing the good news of the gospel, because we know that it's only Christ that can change a heart, and the matter of life is very much at stake here. So let's be praying for them. Let's get engaged. Let's be both salt and light. I believe that's the big important aspect here, Vernon.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And can you imagine the impact if Bill and Hillary Clinton had a true conversion to Christianity and lived their faith and spoke out boldly about that faith? Just imagine the impact, the reverberation that would have throughout from coast to coast.
Thank you, Vernon.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Pamela in Phoenix, Arizona. Pamela, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, what can we do to fight that judge that vetoed the Born Alive law? What can we do here in Arizona to spearhead that? Because I am so pro-life, you'd be amazed. We had foster children that were spina bifida babies of a different culture, and those were my babies.
Yeah.
They were my brother, my sister. We had drug babies. We had an amazing, my parents had foster kids as children, and I am so pro-life. We were marching back in the 70s to protect their lives and other people's lives. And I'm just sick at heart with what we've done with our nation. 63 million plus babies dead. If they don't want them, give them to me, because I raise awesome kids. And it just breaks my heart. And I don't know what we can do out here in Arizona to spearhead this.
Thank you, Pamela, for that. Brad, what can she do? Certainly outraged at what the action, the governor, the recently reelected governor, I know there's some dispute in regard to that, but what can she do?
Well, I'm not as close to Arizona politics as you would be there, Pamela, but I would have you inquire with the local Right to Life group to see if an override of that veto is a possibility. And if it is, they are going to desperately need people, Arizonans, to reach out to their state legislators to work to overturn that veto. If any time there was a veto that deserved to be overturned, it would be that one. I'm not aware of any other that is more worthy of that act. So I would say get involved, and then if there's something that can be done, make sure your church is activated, educated, and mobilized to act on behalf of these candidates.
Thank you for the call. Mike is next in Texas. You're on the air, Mike.
Yes, sir. I just have to agree with one of the last callers that were talking about how spineless and cowardless the Supreme Court justice is. He's 100% right. There's no doubt about that. They did act like Pontius Pilate as far as the abortion. And even worse than that, if we don't get these elections fixed, we'll never have a fair election again. They would not look at a single case. And it's proof on video and proof everywhere else. They would not even look at a single case of the fraudulent 2020 election.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your comment. I'm needing to go on because we're just 10 seconds from our close. Brad Mattis with us here today from Life Issues Institute. And Brad, I know that you've got a wealth of information on your site to inform and educate on so many issues pertaining to life.
Yes, we do. And I would encourage everybody to be educated. Education is the foundation on which you build political and legislative victories. And it's the same in the state as it is in Congress. So go to lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. And if you have any questions, contact us through our website.
Brad, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
Brad Mattis, lifeissues.org. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.